Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we'd like to thank you for giving us yet another year, and we want to start the year with you. Grant that we do this today. And Lord, as we start the new year, there is some chaos in our lives, and there is some darkness in our lives. And we pray that you would bring order into our chaos and light into our darkness. May the Holy Spirit bring home this truth to us as we start this. So our prayer as we start this year is this: speak, Lord, for your servant here. We ask this thing in Jesus' name. And the people say, So if you look at your bulletin, you will find that there's something called praying with God. God is there. This is some kind of introduction to what we're going to be studying on Sunday mornings for the month of January. Notice that it's all self-contained. This is because I would like, if you would like to invite a friend to church, you can use this. But also you can put this with a magnet on your refrigerator, just in case you wanted to know what we'll be preaching about the following Sunday and you might want to read beforehand. Now, the theme for our Sunday worship gatherings in January 2018 is, you saw it, praying with God. And then there's a subtitle called God is There. So what is prayer? Prayer is, in simple terms, talking with God. And prayer is having a relationship with God. And when we talk with someone, when you have a relationship with someone, it's not just a one-way street. It is what I call a two-way street. We talk to God, and God talks to us. Because a lot of sermons about prayer is focused on that one-way street, we talk to God. But I'm hoping that as we carry on in the month of January, we'll be also able to hear God talking to us. And the problem we have, which is why I had a subtitle, God is There, is that we live in a cloud. And very often in our lives, we ask this question: is God there? We doubt if God is there. We live in a culture that is what I call me-focused. We get so engrossed with what is happening in our lives that we forget about God. So this is a culture that I see globally. Whether when I go home in Malaysia and visit family, or here in the greater Toronto area, I find that we human beings are conditioned to forget about God and focus on ourselves. And I actually believe that ever since the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, ran away from God by disobeying him in eating the fruit, ever since then, we have been trying to hide from God and focusing on ourselves. And the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, forget that in the first place, they were created by God. And they owe their very life and their existence to God. Now, they might have messed things up, as I was trying to teach the kids just now, but God is still there in the garden with them. And God looks for them even when they are hiding. So, in the next few minutes, we're going to unpack what it means to be human beings created by God and how this relates to prayer. Human beings are created by God in God's image. In God's image. What does that mean? When I went back to Malaysia last August and reconnected with my uncle after all these years, and this was the first time he saw Luke, and he told me, "Luke looks like you." So my uncle implies that there is an image of me in Luke. And it is the same with God and us. Each of us as a human being bears what I call the image of God. And somehow in our very soul, there is a reminder that we are created in the image of God and that we returned to God because we are created in his image. To start the new year, we are now going to read four passages and have comment on them. And this is just to affirm our faith as we start the new year. And we're going to start with the passage that Luke read for us, but I think that is a very key passage that I want us to read it together. So the first five verses of the Bible, let's read it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So notice in this account of God's creation, it says that God creates the heaven and the earth, and that's God's first step. However, it then says the earth was formless and empty, formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. So although God creates the heaven and the earth is still in darkness. And there is still chaos on the earth. And then it reminds us, comforting us, that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. In other words, God is still present over the waters, and there is hope. And then you have this phrase, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So God now moves to bring order to this chaos. He moves to shine his light into the darkness and creates day and night. But notice how God does this. God creates light by speaking, by speaking. God says, "Let there be light," and there is light. So I emphasize two points before we move on to the next passage. Number one, God brings order and light into the chaos and the darkness. You see that. And number two, God creates order and light by speaking forth into creation. I repeat, God brings order and light into the chaos and darkness. Number two, God creates order and light by speaking forth into creation. So now let's read John chapter 1, the first five verses of John chapter 1 that summarize for us what I call the Christmas story. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you see that there are some parallels between Genesis 1, 1 to 5, and John 1, 1 to 5. And John 1, 1 to 5 is, as I said, the start of the Christmas story. And what does John 1, 1 say? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word refers to Jesus, who is about, according to John, to be born into the world. Now, when I speak to each of you, what do I use? I use words. And so words are the vehicle by which we speak. Without words, we won't be able to understand each other. When we speak in words. So therefore, Jesus being the Word is God speaking to us. God communicates himself through Jesus, the Word, the human being. And so in John's account of the Christmas story, as I read previously, he says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, God creates order and light by speaking forth into creation. That was one of the points I made just now. So therefore, when God speaks into creation, he creates order out of the chaos and brings light into the darkness. And if the man Jesus Christ is the Word, therefore Jesus Christ is now the way by which God speaks into creation. And I would say that Jesus Christ is God final speech to creation. And a little bit more about Jesus Christ, who is God's final speech to creation. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So not only is Jesus the means by which God speaks finally into creation, Jesus is the means by which God brings light to the darkness of creation. Jesus is the light of all mankind, according to John 1, 4. And Jesus' light shines in our darkness. So just as God brings light into the darkness of creation in Genesis 1, Jesus Christ is now the way by which God shines his light into our darkness in John 1. So let's learn a little bit about this light now. Let's read this passage about Jesus being the light that shines in darkness. Let us read together. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So there is a sad story here. John tells us that though the world was made through Jesus, okay, the world does not recognize Jesus. And Jesus, according to John, comes to those who were his own, to his own human beings who were created. But his own human beings did not receive him. And so we go back to what I said about the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Jesus is God who created us, who was there at the beginning of time. And now in the Christmas story, he has come to us and he comes to bring order into our chaos and light into our darkness, but we did not receive him. And as I indicated before, we all of us, have this natural tendency to reject God and live on our own. And we are constantly coming to God for the forgiveness and for the light that he brings to our darkness. But then John tells us something. Yet to all who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God. And so therefore, John tells us that all who believe in Jesus' name are welcomed back into Jesus' family. When we receive Jesus, the Son of God, we become the children of God. We become the sons and daughters of God. We become part of God's family. We are restored to being part of God's family. And so in a moment, we are about to celebrate this particular meal. And I call it a meal. It's also called communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper. But today I want to focus on it being the family meal. The family meal. The meal that affirms that we are all sons and daughters of God, that we are the children of God, that we are all part of God's family. And the event that precipitates this meal, the event that causes this meal to come about is the Christmas story, is Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. It is through Jesus, through that Son of God, that we are brought into God's family and we become the sons and daughters of God. We become part of God's family. So Christmas leads us to the Lord's Supper, Jesus' meal. But there's something that I want to highlight about this meal, and this is the final passage we will read together. The reference in Luke to the Lord's Supper. Let us read the reference in Luke to the Lord's Supper. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." So on Good Friday, at the Passover meal, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, Jesus' meal. The meal of the family of God. And you know what? It must have been a very, very strange meal. Because you see here in this verses quoted earlier, we just read, that Jesus has a premonition that Judas is going to betray him. Judas is going to reject the light of Jesus. Judas prefers to live in darkness. And yet, Jesus still proceeds with the Last Supper. And he includes everyone in the Last Supper, including Jesus. All 12 of Jesus' apostles are included in the meal of the Last Supper. Jesus serves the bread and the wine to everyone in the room, including Judas, who is going to betray him. So we are going to move into celebrating the Lord's Supper in a moment. But I want to say to you, okay, because as we start 2018, we come in different degrees in terms of our relationship with God. Some of us are okay, and we feel that we are fellowshipping with God. But some of us might feel that we are rejecting his light. We are rejecting Jesus. I'm saying to you, even if you feel that way, Jesus now offers to us the light that shines in darkness. He offers to us the order that he can create out of the chaos of our life. Now, he knows, like Adam and Eve in the garden, that we are people who have a natural tendency to run away from him, to hide from him. We prefer to live in darkness. But Jesus, like God in the garden, still offers us his light to be shown into the darkness of our lives. He still offers us his redemption to bring order out of the chaos in our lives. In other words, the presence of Judas in the Last Supper means that Jesus offers us his meal, his presence, irrespective of whatever situation you are in right now. And so God or Jesus offers you, if you like, his body and his blood. These are all symbols of the redemption, of the salvation, of the light, of the order that he wants to bring into our life. And so I say to you, come to Jesus, because he offers you his light in your darkness and his order in your chaos. Let us pray. So Lord, we are all struggling to come to you right now because we live in certain degrees in our darkness and in the chaos, and we hear you saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We hear you saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. So we inch towards you in receiving this meal right now, and we thank you that you will accept us just as we are, as we come. We ask these things in Jesus' name.